जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 1 The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrat, text number 5. Okay, so now the poetry part of it is over. Verses from here on, especially the fifth canto, are like paragraphs. And so I don't know how to sing them. To me it seems more like a statement, prose, more than the poetic way. So be prepared for being misguided. Shri Shuka Uvacha. I don't know the tune for this. Badha Mukta Bhagavata Uttama Shloka Srimat. Charanaravinda Makaranda Rasa Aveshita Chetuso Bhagavata. Wow. Paramahamsa Daita Katham Kinchid Antaraya Vihitam Swam Together would be nice. Shivatamam Padavim Na Prayena Hivanti Hinvanti. Your turn. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Badham Uktam Bhagavata Uttama Shlokasya Shrimat. Charanaravinda Makaranda Rasa Aveshita Chetaso Bhagavata. Paramahamsa Daita Katham Kinchit Antaraya Vihitam Swam. Shivatamam Padavim Naprayena Hinvanti. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Ladies, please. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Badham Uktam Bhagavata Uttama Shlokasya Shrimat. Charanaravinda Makaranda Rasa Aveshita Chetaso Bhagavata. Paramaham Sadaita Katham Kinchidantaraya Vihitam Swam. Shivatamam Padavim Naprayena Hinvanti. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Badham Uktam Bhagavata Uttama Shlokasya Shrimat. Charanaravinda Makaranda Rasa Aveshita Chetaso Bhagavata. Paramahamsa Daita Katham Kinchit Antaraya Vihitam Swam. Shivatamam Hipradvim Naprayena Hinvanti. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Badham, correct. Uktam, what you have said. Bhagavataha, of the personality of Godhead. Uttama Shlokasya, who is praised with excellent verses. Srimad Charanaravinda, of the feet, which are just like the most beautiful fragrant lotus flowers. Makaranda, honey, rase, in the nectar, aveshita, absorbed, chetasaha, whose hearts, bhagavata, to the devotees, Paramahamsa, liberated persons, Daita, pleasing, Katham, glorification, Kinchit, sometimes, Antaraya, by impediments, Vihatam, checked, Swam, own, Shivatamam, most exalted, Padavim, position, Na, do not, Prayena, almost always, Hinvanti, give up. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "What you have said is correct. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised in eloquent transcendental verses by such exalted personalities as Brahma, are very pleasing to great devotees and liberated persons. One who is attached to the nectarian honey of the Lord's lotus feet and whose mind is always absorbed in his glories may sometimes be checked by some impediment, but he still never gives up the exalted position he has acquired." Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It's a long purport, so please stay with us. Sri Shukadeva Goswami accepted both of the king's propositions, that a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness cannot embrace materialistic life again, and that one who has embraced materialistic life cannot take up Krishna consciousness at any stage of his existence. Although accepting both these statements, Shukadeva Goswami qualified them by saying that a person who has once absorbed his mind in the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may sometimes be influenced by impediments, but he still does not give up his exalted devotional position. Very important principle. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there are two kinds of impediments to devotional service. The first is an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. This is called Vaishnava Aparadha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned his devotees not to commit Vaishnava Aparadha, which he described as the mad elephant offense. When a mad elephant enters a beautiful garden, it destroys everything, leaving a barren field. Similarly, the power of Vaishnava Aparadha is so great that even an advanced devotee becomes almost devoid of his spiritual assets if he commits it. Since Krishna consciousness is eternal, it cannot be destroyed altogether, but advancement may be checked for the time being. Thus, Vaishnava Aparadha is one kind of impediment to devotional service. Sometimes, however, the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee desires to impede one's devotional service. For example, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were formerly Jaya and Vijaya, the gatekeepers in Vaikuntha. But by the desire of the Lord, they became his enemies for three lives. Thus the desire of the Lord is another kind of impediment. But in both cases, the pure devotee, once advanced in Krishna consciousness, cannot be lost. Following the orders of his superiors, Swayambhuva and Lord Brahma, Priyavrata accepted family life, but this did not mean he lost his position in devotional service. Krishna consciousness is perfect and eternal, and therefore it cannot be lost under any circumstances. Because the material world is full of obstructions to advancement in Krishna consciousness, there may appear to be many impediments. Yet Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declares in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 31, Kaunteya prati janihi name bhakta pranashyati. Once one has taken the shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, he cannot be lost. In this verse, the word Shivatamam is very significant. Shivatamam means the most auspicious. The devotional path is so auspicious that a devotee cannot be lost under any circumstances. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita by the Lord Himself. Partha naivehana mutra virashas tasya vidyate. My dear Arjuna, for a devotee, there is no question of being lost, either in this life or in the next. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 40. In Bhagavad Gita 6:43, the Lord clearly explains how this is so. Tatratam buddhi samyogam labhate parvadehikam yatate chatato bhuya samsiddhau kurunandana. By the order of the Lord, a perfect devotee sometimes comes to this material world like an ordinary human being. Because of his previous practice, such a perfect devotee naturally becomes attached to devotional service, apparently without cause. Despite all kinds of impediments due to surrounding circumstances, he automatically perseveres in devotional service and gradually advances until he once again becomes perfect. Bilwa Mangal Thakur had been an advanced devotee in his previous life, but in his next life, he became greatly fallen and was attached to a prostitute. Suddenly, however, his entire behavior was changed by the words of the very prostitute who had so much attracted him, and he became a great devotee. In the lives of exalted devotees, there are many such instances proving that once one has taken shelter to the lotus feet of the Lord, he cannot be lost. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. The fact is, however, that one becomes devotee when he is completely freed from all reactions to sinful life. As Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 28, Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrataha. Quote, persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of illusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. On the other hand, as Prahlad Maharaj said, Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mitobhipadhyeta Grahavratanam. A person who is too attached to materialistic family life, home, family, wife, children and so on, cannot develop Krishna consciousness. These apparent contradictions are resolved in the life of a devotee by the grace of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, a devotee is never bereft of his position on the path of liberation, which is described in this verse as Shimvatamam Padavim. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm going to try to make it as practical as possible. In Krishna consciousness, the sooner we learn to accommodate contradictions, the less anxious we are as we move through Krishna consciousness. Because all dualities are resolved in the person of the personality of Godhead and his exalted devotees. The handicap with which we come to Krishna consciousness is that we can only hold one concept at a time. We can either hold this side of duality or that side of duality. We cannot hold both aspects at the same time. For example, that Krishna is simultaneously the most merciful, the most compassionate, yet very firm, and kills a demon. And that killing is also exhibition of his extreme compassion. Because we are in the world of duality, we have stereotypes of ideas. Compassion means it should look like this. Hatred means it should look like that. Love means it should look like this. Anger means it should look like that. We have these stereotypes. And the second problem, if you will, if you want to call it a problem, is what's called projection. We apply those conceptions upon Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees. And so we expect that their behaviors, that their way of thinking through things should be the way we think, because that's how we all think. Because for us, that is normalcy. That's the norm. For example, someone did something to me and I become angry. So therefore, someone did something to a pure devotee, they should also become angry. I'm sure they're angry. When in their hearts, for Krishna, the concept of anger or something doesn't arise like that. So we don't know how to deal with it. Some people know, some people don't, some people think they do, some people don't think. Some people don't think, period, but that's a different issue. So Parikshit Maharaj, on our behalf, is asking a very practical question. Oh, hold on a minute here. Maharaj Priyavrata, who we all understand is a very pure person, he, quote-unquote, fell down. What is falling down? He got married. Fallen down. And at the same time, he's accepted as a very pure person, an exalted person. How are the two possible? And because the two propositions that Parikshit Maharaj is presenting is that one who is very pure never falls. Is that true? Yes, that's true. And one who is very fallen, according to Prahlad Maharaj, cannot become fully Krishna conscious. Is that true? That is also true. But how are these two both true simultaneously for Maharaj Priyavrata? So Shukadeva Goswami is saying, you're right. Excuse me. I must apologize. I have this new thing that I'm trying to work with, that it sort of, from minutes, some intervals of time, there's like these burps. I don't know what it is. So I'll try to keep it as least disgusting as possible. But Shukadeva Goswami says, that's right. Both propositions are true. When it comes to a pure devotee, both these simultaneously can exist. That an exalted personality may sometimes experience certain impediments by which they may appear to fall down from their position. If fall down is too uncomfortable a word, we'll use the word impediment, like Prabhupada uses the word impediment, that they have some difficulties. At the same time, by Krishna's grace, that difficulty they can overcome. So the operating principle here, very importantly, is Krishna's grace. And Krishna's grace is within Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. So we'll do a little recap of what we know of Bhagavad Gita. Very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us an assurance. Where? Chapter 2? text 40. Neha bhikkarmanascho asti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Right in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, as soon as he's explained the concept of the soul, immediately he tells us, little devotional service and you can be guaranteed to be saved from the greatest of fears. That means even a little bit of devotional service can immediately bring one from a very, very dark position, dark state of consciousness, to a fairly elevated, enlightened state of consciousness. Then what to speak of a very sincerely executed sadhana bhakti process? Very much. Then, and then throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us assurances. Asamshayaha, without a doubt. Don't worry, without a doubt. Asamshayaha. Constantly he says, asamshayaha, asamshayaha. Chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. He begins 7 with asamshayaha, don't worry, no doubt. And in the 9th chapter, he makes a very, very solid declaration. Kaunteya pratijanihi nami bhakta pranashyati. My dear Arjuna, you can declare it very boldly that my devotee never is vanquished. And if we are not convinced, then in the 18th chapter, he says, personally, I will take care of it. Sarvadharman parityaja, mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami ma sucha. Don't worry, I will take care of everything. That means from the beginning to the end, a devotee is assured of Krishna's grace. And so, in the life or lives of great personalities, sometimes there seems to be impediments. There seem to be impediments. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives us two possible reasons of those impediments. First is Vaishnava Aparad. Vaishnava Aparad means an offense to another devotee, knowingly or unknowingly. And we are instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be very, very cautious about Vaishnava Aparad. Of course, very cautious even against unintentional, not to speak about intentional, that no one says, intentionally want to offend someone, but because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm stopping myself. Otherwise, you know what? I would have punched you, Prabhu. Yes. Very, very cautious about not committing offense. Now it means that a devotee is how to counteract or how to be cautious against Vaishnava Aparad. There are a few aspects. One is always maintain proper etiquette with devotees. Such as, if you want to get into the details, such as offering of obeisances, using pleasing words, respectful words, and interacting with them, etc. Always maintain that etiquette. Another is to not speak ill of them everywhere. Then there are intentional ones, which, you know, that there is harming a devotee, saying something, insulting, etc. So one should be very careful in following proper, careful, introspective interactions with each other. That is our way of protecting ourselves from Vaishnava Aparad as much as we can. Yet, it is said that even the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We may have the best of intentions, and because we are living in the material world, the best intentions can be misconstrued. It's very much possible. So devotees should not think that an offense is irreversible or irrevocable. Oh, I made an offense. That's the end of my bhakti. I'm finished. We're finished if we don't do anything about it. A principle that has helped me and has helped in my service is from the very beginning I understood that the path to purity is not free of mistakes. It is perfectly all right to make mistakes. Not that intentionally, it's perfectly all right that mistakes happen. It's perfectly all right. Mistakes happen. What's not all right is to not do anything about them. That's not all right. Krishna wants to see from us how we respond to mistakes that we make. Because from Krishna's side, there is no expectation that, hey, now you're chanting one round, you make a mistake and I'm going to chop your head off. You remember, you know, I have Sudarshan in my hand. No, nothing like that. Krishna has a very nice lotus also in his hand that allows us to very lovingly move forward. So it's not that mistakes cannot happen. Mistakes can happen. To not rectify them, that's the problem. And our anarthas are stuck in those reasons why we don't rectify ourselves. That those are called anarthas. And another way to see the same thing differently is, in simpler language, that the graph of progress in Krishna consciousness is never a straight line. Never a straight line. We should not expect that I started my chanting of Hare Krishna and somehow from here my graph's just going to move nice straight line all the way to Prema Bhakti. If that is the conception we're moving in our Krishna consciousness with, Prabhus, please wake up and smell the pakoras. We don't use coffee, right? We say pakoras. We don't use coffee. The saying is, wake up and smell the coffee. Because that's not how it operates. Our graph of Krishna consciousness is always up, down, up, down, up, down. However, individually we have our little graphs. As long as it is progressive, that's how things are going to be until we reach the other side of this vast ocean called Anartha Nivritti. Until then, it's Kumish. After that, there are only blips until we reach Bhava. After that, there's just a little tremor once in a while. In Prema Bhakti, one is completely relieved. So don't expect straight line, everything. No. But what takes us from the bottom position towards the higher position is what we do when we recognize something is not in its right place. So Vaishnava Aparad, if we don't do something about it, then is the real problem. It's called the mad elephant offense. There are many reasons why our graph goes down. I'm not covering all the aparad types. We're just focusing on Vaishnava aparad here. In Vaishnava aparad, the graph moves down fairly steeply, quickly. So the rectification in Vaishnava aparad is just fall flat on the floor and seek forgiveness without any what's called rationalization or justification. All that later. First order of business is to seek forgiveness from a devotee. Then is the whole this part, that situation, all that later. That's our rectification. Otherwise, all that we have worked for, here Prabhupada says, the mad elephant tramples a beautiful garden and leaves it barren completely. And we know what it takes to manicure a garden. Who's there? Garden Prabhu's here. It's a lot of work. carefully weeding out, you know, the unnecessary, actually taking out the weeds, making sure everything is nicely trimmed, clean, healthy. It takes a lot of work. So sadhana bhakti is that process by which we're cultivating the garden of our heart, because we have received that little seed. Mm-hmm. Although, when we say receive the seed, a little digression here, it's not that the seed of Krishna consciousness is not in the heart. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. It's already there. When we hear the verse that says, Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Bija, it's not that before that there was no bija and now suddenly Guru has gifted a seed. Because there is another verse that says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitti Karayudai. Krishna consciousness is inherently there in the heart of every soul. So the giving of the bija means the giving of the taste for Krishna consciousness. That's what we receive. It's the taste that is awakened. And when the taste is awakened, we move towards sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya. And it's the taste that is preserved from one lifetime to another lifetime. Even if we do monkey business in between, something goes wrong, for that period of time it is hidden or covered or becomes dormant till it is awakened again. So, Vaishnava aparad is an impediment. One should be careful about it. Careful to not commit it. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a second impediment. The second impediment is Krishna or Krishna's devotee induce the impediment. Look, why would Krishna induce an impediment? And so here it says, sometimes the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee desires to impede one's devotional service. And there is an example. For example, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were Jaya and Vijaya. And their bhakti was impeded. They became demons for three lives. How is Krishna's desire? Huh? Krishna desires for his devotee to become demons? Yeah? He desires. Are there other examples where Krishna desired an impediment in the life of his devotee? Huh? Vritrasura. Very good. King Chitraketu was cursed by Uma to become Vritrasura, demon. Other examples? Mm-hmm. That was a test, yeah. In fact, in Dhruva Maharaj's life, when he becomes the exalted Dhruva, then he has a fight with the Yakshas, 13,000 Yakshas. And he has to be tapped on the shoulder, Prabhuji, take it easy. Oh. Well, they were not performing bhakti. They were performing bhukti. But Narada did definitely intervene in that situation to help them. I was thinking of Arjuna. A nice devotee. Everything is fine. Always surrendered to Krishna. Suddenly on the battlefield, oh, I don't want to do my service. That is an impediment in our consciousness. I don't want to do my service. Was very difficult. Parikshit Maharaj, pure devotee, such exalted in his position that Kali had no place to stay. Had to beg him, can you give me some place to stay? All right, all these places where the four regulative principles are broken, you can stay there. My dear king, there isn't a place like that on this planet. Because under your reign, there is no place like that. What to do? Such a great personality looks at what Rishi? Shamika Rishi. in meditation and says, "Huh, you don't know how to respect the king of this planet? What kind of brahmana are you?" Takes a dead snake and puts it around his neck as an insult. That was an impediment. It's checked. Of course, checked so that the Bhagavatam can be spoken. We understand that from Srimad Bhagavatam. But for the immature, undiscerning eye, it looks like, whoa, what is that? Yeah. What about Lord Brahma? There you go. Yeah. Vimohan, exactly. Because he said, what's going on? Who's this little boy? Like that. So there are impediments that arise in the life of a great personality. And Shukadeva Goswami is helping us that even if such things do happen, the devotee does not lose his exalted position. Very quickly, they come back to their exalted position. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma sasvachanti nigacchati. And then the next verse is Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Kshipram means very quickly. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Such a person very quickly reinstates himself or herself in their original position. That quickness comes because of recognizing. It's called the oh moment. We've all had that, right? I'm sure we have had that. We've had many of that. I know I've had like a gazillion of them. Where as soon as you say or do something, you recognize, oops, that was not right. And sometimes we don't recognize that. Someone has to tell us, that was not right. Oh. From my side, it all looked right. Everything seemed just perfect. In fact, I even thought through the whole thing, yet I was wrong. But whenever it comes to us, that's the time for rectification. And one who rectifies, kshipram bhavati dharmatma. So then Prabhupada gives us the story of Bilu Mangal Thakur, to tell us that there is this phrase, Shivatamam Padavim. Shiva means auspicious. Shivatamam means the most auspicious. Most auspicious. Padavim is position. Being a devotee of Krishna is the most auspicious position. Acting outside of that is inauspicious. From a devotional perspective, that's inauspicious. So one may, unfortunately, act in a way that is outside of the auspicious position, not characteristic of the auspicious position, but they don't lose what they have gained. In the material world, people lose what they have gained very quickly because it's material. So in the world of duality, they may lose that position for the time being, which is correct, but deep within the core of the heart, of the soul, whatever advancement has been made doesn't go away. When the right opportunity, right situation, proper association is available, they very quickly make advancement back to that original position. Sometimes devotees ask this question, I'm not sure if I was a devotee in my previous life or not. So we don't know the answer either. And the only way, generally there is a little indication, is some people take to Krishna consciousness very quickly. Some people don't. And those who take quickly, we can see that they move up to a particular stage of Krishna consciousness also fairly quickly. And then the real problems begin. Then they're like, from there on things become sluggish. So generally that's an indication that they very quickly move back to where they might have left off. And in this life they're moving on from that position. Generally, that's an indicator. As we are getting trained to becoming preachers or caregivers or whatever term you want to use, important to know, some people, because they move fast, it doesn't necessarily mean somehow things are really wow. It means that they're going to hit a wall very soon. And once they hit that wall, from then on it's like very, very little small steps of progress. So as long as they don't hit the wall, we help them move fast towards that wall. Pow! Yes, Prabhu. Now that you've come to your senses, let's do things carefully. I'm joking, but you get the idea. The thing is, they move fast. Now, as individual devotees, we don't go into, hey, I'm doing pretty well. I must have been a nice devotee in my previous life. We don't operate like that. We are very grateful for the mercy given to us by us devotees to help us move from the terrible positions that we were in. We don't look for, I must have been a nice devotee in my previous life. Well, if that was the case, why are you in this body anymore? But so then it is said that you go to holy places and you see pigs and monkeys and dogs in the dham, for example. These persons are actually very exalted. They have done something unfortunate by which they're given a short additional stay. And they're fortunate that they're given a stay in the holy place. So they can see the devotees, they get chastised, but it's by the devotees. The devotees. So they associate with the devotees, they take away your spectacles, for example. But they are their great persons. One shouldn't, Prabhupada said, they are dhamvasis. One shouldn't mistreat. Just because they're in the body of a hog or a monkey or some other animal, to treat them low is very dangerous, because we don't know which great personality they were in the previous life, that for some unfortunate reason are there. So it happens. In some life, it gets impeded and then there's little opportunity. Coming up, he's setting the stage for a discussion of not only Maharaj Priyavrata, but the whole of this second part of this first canto, first part of fifth canto, is the three lives of Maharaj Bharat. Devotee in bhava stage, like super, super exalted. Next life, life of a deer. Like, wow. So, can happen. Impediments can happen. Fall downs, accidents can happen. So we're being prepared to look at it from the perspective of the vantage of how Krishna sees it and how Krishna gives opportunities for us to rectify those mistakes. Krishna always gives opportunities. We should never think that, oh, I'm not getting an opportunity to rectify myself. Krishna constantly gives us opportunities to rectify ourselves. It takes recognition from our side. So the story of Bilva Mangal Thakur, I'm going to keep it short. Bilva Mangal Thakur, Prabhupada says, in his previous life was a great devotee. So in his next life, he was born to a very aristocratic Brahmana family. And even though in a Brahmin family, it is said that if one is born in a Brahmana or an aristocrat family, that person is to be considered a yogi who was on his path of advancement but didn't make it. Chapter 8, Bhagavad Gita, there are two stages, Yoga Rudha and Yoga Ruruksha stages. Arudha means fairly developed. So Krishna says that those who have just made little advancement, they go to the higher realms and enjoy all the piety that they have gained by their yogic process. Those who are even more advanced, for some reason they don't make it, they get an opportunity to be born in the house of a Brahmana, Suchinam Srimata, in the house of a very rich person. Because in these two families, Either way, the basic problems of life, one doesn't have to worry about. One can be generally more amenable, more inclined to reviving what they had lost. Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe. Yogo Nashta Abhijayate. And in that section of verses, Prabhupada says, those who are even more exalted take birth in the lives, in the houses of families of devotees. And he says, like our spiritual master and ourselves. He talks about himself and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. So the opportunities are always there. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur was born in the house of a Brahmana. However, unfortunately, even being born in the house of a Brahmana, he became very attracted to a prostitute called Chintamani. I like to say that the devotees are also Chintamani. Of course, devotees are compared to Chintamani. Chintamani means touchstone. Mani means jewel or stone. And in Hindi, Chinta means worrying. So the devotees are also Chintamani because they are the crown jewel of people who worry all the time. Mental people. Mental platform are also Chintamani. It's a joke, Prabhu. Anyway. So he got attracted to Chintamani. And it was the day of his father's departure. It's called Tithi, which the son is supposed to perform oblations to Lord Vishnu. It's called Pindodaka, Pindadana. Right? Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says to Krishna, what if all these men are dead, all the sons are dead on the battlefield, who will offer Pinda? And if one doesn't offer Pinda, how will the forefathers be relieved from their hellish condition? Right? The word used for son is putra. We all know by now, from the little discussions we've had, where Prabhupada's taught us, we all know what tra means. Tra means to relieve. Mantra, yantra, tantra, putra. Putra. Put is the particular hellish realm, is coming up in the next part of fifth canto, where the forefathers go if they haven't performed their dharmic duties properly. So the son has the opportunity or prerogative to relieve the previous forefathers from that condition. So he's called Putra. So he was supposed to perform this very important activity, but his mind was on Chintamani. Today I feel like being with Chintamani. So everyone else said, please don't go. This is an important function you have to do for your father, departed father. He said, I want to be with Chintamani. So he didn't finish what he was supposed to do properly. And Chintamani lived on the other side of the river. And the weatherman gave a forecast that today there is a storm heading towards our village. And nobody should leave home because the storm is going to be very, very intense. The river is going to swell over its banks and it's going to be extremely dangerous, in fact fatal, if you go out. Please stay put. Don't go. And so it was the tornado siren. I didn't know what tornado siren was when I came to Oklahoma. It was such a terrible place in this world. Oklahoma, Stillwater, Oklahoma. And the first thing I hear is, wow, what is that? Oh, that's a tornado warning. And everyone was scared and they told me, you're just fresh off the boat. In case there are tornadoes, you have to go into the apartment and sit in the bathtub. That's the only place that won't fly away for some reason. I don't know why. If you have a basement, you should be there. Otherwise, bathtub. So he was warned, there will be tornadoes, storm, all this. But he said, I want to see Chintamani. So he went to the river and he asked the boatman, can you please take me to the other side? He said, are you nuts? There's no way. There's no way you can cross this river. And while he was talking, Bilwa Mangal Thakur ran and jumped right into the river. Not ready to hear. He didn't know how to cross the river. So in the dark, he was groping to find something to keep himself afloat, and a dead body was passing by, floating. He grabbed a dead body. Of course, a dead body is considered very muchi, smelly and decaying, and one doesn't touch a dead body. He caught hold of the dead body. And I'm sure it's not like he caught the pinky and said, I know it's dirty, but let me go. He just grabbed the dead body just to keep afloat and pass through the current. Somehow he got to the other side, embracing that dead body. And then he went to Chintamani's house through the forest. All the thorns were ripping his skin. He was bleeding. He couldn't see where he was, but he knew he had to see Chintamani. He goes to Chintamani's house, and Chintamani said, well, looks like no business tonight. So she locked all the doors, the gates, and was upstairs in her bedroom. And he didn't know how to scale the gate. He didn't know how to scale the wall. It was a single family house, so they had a nice fence and gate. Chintamani lived nicely. So he didn't know how to scale the wall. He tried, he fell down, broke his arm, all that thing, but finally he found a deadly snake on the wall. He grabbed the snake, somehow used it as a rope to scale the wall. He was not afraid. Even if the snake bit me, it doesn't matter. I have to see Chintamani. If at the last moment of my life, if I can get to see Chintamani, that would be the success of my life, Chintamani. So he went and knocked at her door. She opened the door and said, whoa, how'd you make it here? He said, well, I had to see you. I had to see you. She said, do you know it's so bad out there? Yeah, I had to see you. And he told her how he crossed the river, scaled the wall. And she said, my gosh, if you had even a little of that intensity of attraction towards Krishna, you would be in such better situation. And she only had to say that to him that it rang a bell for him. Suddenly the light turned on. And he said, Chintamani, I accept you as my guru. He offered her obeisances and immediately departed to transform himself. And the story doesn't end there. So then he decided, I am going to go to Vrindavan and live there and practice my bhajan there so that I can dedicate my life to Krishna. So this was in South India, and he was moving north towards Vrindavan. On the way, he passed through a marketplace and he saw a very beautiful woman. And he started following her. Although in his heart he had made this determination to go to Vrindavan, now he was following her. And his lusty desire became even more agitated. Somehow he wanted to spend the night with her. He came to know that she is a married woman. So generally in Vedic, married woman. But he followed her, pursued her. And he reached the house. She was buying groceries. So he pursued her. She went into the house and he followed her into the house. So the husband was at home. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur was dressed like a brahmana. So brahmanas were received nicely. So the husband received this brahmana very nicely, washed his feet, gave him something to eat, nice place to sit, water. And he said, I'm very fortunate that a brahmana has arrived at my house. Please tell me how I can serve you. Whatever you say, I will do. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur said, I have actually a very odd request. And the odd request is that the lusty feelings in my heart have been agitated towards your wife, and I'd like to spend the night with her. And the husband didn't know what to say because he had already given his word that I will do whatever you ask. Don't ask me to explain why the husband didn't do this, why didn't he punch him in the face. Don't ask me all that. This was hundreds of years ago, so just go with the story. This is what happened in Bilwa Mangal Thakur's life. Of course, modern setting, girl power is a whole different issue. We're not talking that. We're not talking that, right? We're talking Bilwa Mangal Thakur's story. So somehow the husband was in this serious dilemma. I have given my word to serving a brahmana. And he didn't know how to resolve it. So finally he determined, since I've given my word to a Brahmana, I have to follow it. So he went and told his wife, this is what we have to do. She said, you're out of your mind. Are you crazy? There is no way. He said, well, I have offered whatever service to the Brahmana, and I cannot step away from my resolve like this. So the wife thought, and she said, well, my dharma is to follow the husband's promise. What to do? What to do if he made such a promise that didn't make any sense, but I have to follow. So she agreed. And she came to Bilwamangal Thakur in that room, said, this is what my husband has said, and it's not because I'm attracted or anything. In fact, I'm appalled, I'm disgusted, I'm revolted, I feel like throwing up. But that's my dharma is to follow. And Bilwamangal Thakur became very moved. And there was a second transformation in his heart. And he said, Mata, he addressed her as Mata. He offered her his obeisances and said, I have a change of heart. I don't have the desire anymore. Just give me the hairpin. The pin that's in your hair. And he takes the hairpin and pokes his eyes out. Such that may I never, because I have a tendency, the moment I'm trying to go to Vrindavan, if my eyes are so lusty that I will now keep looking, who knows? So better not to look. Anyway, please don't try this at home. So he poked his eyes out. He said, now, nothing to see. And now I'm determined to go to Vrindavan. And somehow, through those forests, as a blind man, without any help, any aid, he was just depending on Paramatma to go north and try to find his way to Vrindavan. And he didn't know what to eat, what not to eat, fell here, got bruised, but he was determined. This time he was determined to go to Vrindavan. And along the way, he fell unconscious. And he was brought back to external consciousness by someone very gently tapping him on his back. And he asked the person, oh, who are you? He said, I don't know, I came with my little cows and calves and I saw you fallen here. So I thought I'll revive you. Where would you want to go? He said, I don't know, I'd like to go to a place called Vrindavan. So that person said, well, you are in Vrindavan right now. He said, oh, how nice. I want to be in Vrindavan because I hope to be able to see Krishna. So this person said, oh, okay, that's very nice. And he said, who are you? You sound like a little boy. He said, yes, I'm a little boy that I come with my cows and calves every day to let them graze, and I sit here. He said, okay, when you come tomorrow onwards, we will talk. Okay. So every day that boy would come, he would bring a little milk for Bilwamangal Thakur. They have conversations. Bilwamangal Thakur would describe Krishna to him. So the boy would say, oh, I don't know how Krishna looks. Tell me about Krishna. So Bilwamangal Thakur would describe the different features of Krishna that he had heard, how Krishna is very sweet, he plays the flute, all of that. So for days on, they have these conversations. As the story continues, finally, Bilwamangal Thakur realizes, one day when this boy doesn't come or something, he realizes that that little boy who comes every day is Krishna. But he's so attracted to hearing from Bilwamangal Thakur the descriptions of Krishna that he wants to hear them. So every day he would come to hear from Bilwamangal Thakur about himself. And Bilwamangal Thakur became a resident of Vrindavan and he wrote this beautiful, beautiful poems. One after the other songs. There's a song that we sang during the last festival, last or previously, the Govinda Damodara Madhava Stotra. It's a whole long song. The last line, like Brahma Samhita, is Govinda Damodareti. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Madhava Iti. And it describes the different, the glories of Krishna's name, Krishna's form, activities, qualities, etc. And a nice, nice song. So he's wrote many, many songs. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit with his devotees and every day relish the songs of Jayadev Goswami, the songs of Bilva Mangal Thakur, the stories and narrations of Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, again and again. So it's possible that in the lives of devotees, there are impediments. And these impediments actually, if properly understood, become the stepping stones to further purification. So one shouldn't be too disturbed that, oh, looks like there is a difficulty, everything was going well, what's this difficulty all about? The difficulty is a good sign. I mean, not that that's what we look for. In my life there are no difficulties, what's going wrong? If something happens, let that be the strength to, let that be the opportunity to become even more, purer, become purer on the path of Krishna consciousness. And I'm very sorry I went like way over time. Are there any burning questions? Burning question? Okay. That's a way of discouraging questions, isn't it? Are there any questions? Okay.
For progress?
Unless the... Well, it's not necessarily a favor per se. We shouldn't look at it as a favor. We should look at it as an opportunity to do something differently or improve. How can we improve? That's the question we should ask. Not that, oh, my dear Krishna, you're giving me such a favor to fall down. No, that's not the idea. Ideas, how can I improve? Either that, or if one doesn't improve, then the impediment washes the person out of the path of devotional service until they're willing to rectify themselves. Challenges are opportunities. Even if there's a challenge and we didn't meet the challenge and there was a mistake, even mistakes can be opportunities if seen in the right way. That's the point. Now, there are two ways of looking at it. Mistakes that we make, we are far more forgiving of that than mistakes that others make. Usually it should be the other way around. We should be less tolerant of the mistakes we make and more tolerant of the mistakes others make. But the materialistic operation is that we are very tolerant of our mistakes. I am fallen Prabhu, so I'm like this. But if someone else makes a mistake, then it's like, whoa, hold on a minute, how can you be like that? We hold others to very high standards. And ourselves too? It's all right. Not everyone, I'm just generalizing. But. Okay. I'm sure there are questions. I didn't give time because I elaborated Bilva Mangal Thakur's story. Tomorrow I'll give extra time for discussion on today's and tomorrow's verse if there are any. But thank you for your patience. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.